Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us Kathy Adams, and she is with the Eagle Forum down. It's in Texas, isn't it, Kathy?
Yes, that's right. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. And Kathy has just gotten back from the conference in Johannesburg, South Africa. And fortunately, there were a lot of good people there as well as a lot of bad people. In fact, there were well over 100 leaders of nations there, weren't there?
Yes, there were. It was extremely well attended. As a matter of fact, the United Nations was reporting that it was the largest gathering that they had ever amassed.
Well, now, did they get through the Earth Charter? Did they actually get that accepted by the nations, or was that perhaps just set on by the wayside?
That's a very interesting question. You know, the Earth Charter has been called the Magna Carta for world government, and it did garner the support of Stephen Rockefeller, who was on site on the opening day of the conference in what they called Ubuntu Village to present a four-hour seminar. And even though this four-hour seminar went on and it was talking about how to use the system of education in order to implement the ideas of the Earth Charter itself was put in an ark, like the Ark of the Covenant, called the Ark of Hope. And it was to be on display and the Earth Charter placed in it. But I tried as hard as I could and walked miles and never did find the Earth Charter in the Ark of Hope that I could get a photo of.
All right, fine. Well, did it actually get put in there? Of course, it's all symbolic. And basically, it is a mirror image. All of these occult things are a mirror image of the, God's Ten Commandments and, of course, the Ark of the Covenant. And
Right. Till
people understand that everything is a simulation of truth and, of course, an effort to discredit truth, you really can't understand anything that's going on today because otherwise nothing really makes sense.
That's right. And yes, it did end up in there. And there was going to be even a procession bringing the Earth Charter inside the Ark of Hope from somewhere in Johannesburg to this Ubuntu Village. But in Ubuntu Village, the Earth Charter was to be housed in a tent, again, mocking the biblical truth and reality. And yet there were tours going on inside this tent and pictures lauding the benefits of sustainable development, and they really did not have room for the Ark of Hope in that tent.
Oh, shucks, isn't that just too bad? But anyway, of course, other than having it there and talking about how we really need to use education to push these concepts,
yes.
This was not well received or was not really universally adopted?
Well, It was an overflowing room. I was sitting for 4 hours about 10 feet away from Stephen Rockefeller, and remember, it was the Rockefeller family who gave that piece of land on the East River in New York City to the United Nations to build that building. And so this is very profound that Stephen Rockefeller would find time in his schedule to go all the way to Johannesburg, South Africa, in order to take part in a four-hour seminar. And the whole thrust of that seminar was, how can we convince the world from kindergarten all the way through the university level that this Earth Charter is so basic, so fundamental to everything that we need to be about in this world that it must be taught through all of these levels of the education system?
Well, I think what our listeners out there really don't understand, unless they listen to our programs regularly, is that the Rockefeller family has been involved with the occult for many years. In fact, Stephen Rockefeller has edited a book, and you can get it at any metaphysical or satanic bookstore in your area. It's called Spirit and Nature, and they have a picture of Mother Gaia, or of Gaia there. And if you ever saw anything that looked like it came right out of the pit of hell, is that, and she's got these serpents wrapped around her wrists, and, you know, this is, really, it is a horrible, horrible thing. But when you understand that what energizes this whole move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion, because this is a New World Religion,
yes,
is this occult or evil, then, of course, it already begins to make sense. And here we have some of the most wealthy people in the world deeply involved in the occult. Supposedly, the Earth Charter was written by Marie Strong and Gorbachev, but the man really behind this whole thing was Stephen Rockefeller. Gorbachev and Marie Strong really are fronts for the real power that exists behind the scenes, and that, of course, rests with people of great wealth like Professor Stephen Rockefeller.
Right. But, you know, it's interesting because even though they wrote it and even though he is behind it, he was in cahoots that day with the Buddhists in order to present how to instruct the Earth Charter through all of the different levels of education. But it's also interesting to me that it was using this religious aspect, but instead of saying religion, they said, you know, this is the part that's missing in sustainable development. We must have an ethical code. And so they're calling this religion now ethical code so that everyone thinks that ethics are fine, and so they want to get it in under the attention level of most people and call it ethics instead of presenting a religion.
But it is it's not a new religion, it's the old pagan religions of antiquity.
Exactly. It is Gaia worship, it is earth worship. Even at one point, one person stood in the seminar and encouraged everyone in the audience, and of course I'm looking around rather than doing it because I knew better, but to fold their hands and their fingers in a certain way and then to fold their hands and fingers in the opposite way in order to say that, you know, we're used to folding when we put our two hands together and mingle our fingers, we're used to doing it in a certain way, but do it the opposite way and see that it feels a little bit different at first, but you can keep doing it and becomes more and more comfortable. And as soon as he said that, Stephen Rockefeller was one of the people who did this with his hands. Another time, someone said, close your eyes and bow your heads and think about sustainable development. What do you see in your mind's eye?
All right, we'll be right back here with Kathy Adams. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time. Of course, we want to tell you about some of the products we have. One of them, of course, is the Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a board game to teach children how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. And it's really a great, great game. It's not one game. It's five games plus two bonus games played like a Monopoly. And you have to have a little tape recorder so you can hear the sounds. But the child learns of the basic sounds of the English language. There are only 40 of them. I mean, when is an A-A and an A-A? And when is it an E-E and an A-A? And, you know, there are various sounds there. And then, of course, you need to, learn the 12 basic rules of the English language. In 16 hours, you can reprogram a child's mind, and they can read right with college graduates. Better than a lot of college graduates. And then, of course, we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, put together by Dr. Robinson for his six children, 50,000 of them out across America. The 22 CDs, got the lesson plans, got the tests, got most of the textbooks. The only textbooks you actually have to buy are the textbooks were the Saxon textbooks for $199.95, not a year, but the whole program. Take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation. Give us a call at 1-800-5 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. If you'd like more information, give us a call or get the Phenopoly set. But if you love your children, your grandchildren, get them out of government schools, because they're going to be indoctrinated in paganism in government schools. And, of course, they won't call it a religion, but it's the oldest religion in the world.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Kathy Adams from the Texas Eagle Forum. We're talking about what happened in South Africa, and this was really a pivotal meeting for the world, because the ultimate goal is this world government, and so many countries are going along with this, thinking that somehow, you know, they're going to get a better deal, they're going to get more money. Did they bring up the subject of the Tobin tax, this idea where they're going to begin raising money, trillions of dollars across the world by taxing financial transfers and other similar things?
Outstanding question. Indeed they did. As a matter of fact, the same man who has brought it up at numerous UN meetings, Jacques Chirac, the president of France, said that even though the Tobin tax is not a bad idea, it has distracted people, so that there's been too much of a defense against the Tobin tax, but he thinks that we should open up for other ideas as well, whether it be taxing sea lanes or taxing outer space in order for a nation to put a satellite up there. We have to investigate and keep an open mind about other forms of global taxation in order to benefit the United Nations.
And, of course, the real reason is so they can have a police force, so they can have a military, so that they can simply force everybody to go along with world rule by world law.
That is exactly right.
And, of course, people do not understand that their concept of rule is not under God's law at all. It's the law of men, and, of course, all you need to do is go to the nations where have put themselves under United Nations control, and you find some of the most ruthless regimes. And when the United Nations is needed to stop genocide, consent is withheld. And that Kofi Annan was responsible directly for the genocide that took place in Rwanda, because he told the Canadian general who was there that he could not use his men to protect the blacks. And the general eventually became an alcoholic because of what he saw, because of what he was forced to do, because he listened to Kofi Annan, the Secretary General of the United Nations. These are evil and wicked people. You only need to read the writings of Robert Mueller, who for many years was Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. He was a Luciferian. And when you understand where these people are coming from, you understand what this world government is all about. Now, do you think the average person who goes to these meetings has any idea of the true spiritual implications of what's going on, Kathy?
No, they're not looking from a spiritual perspective. But, you know, even if they looked at a political perspective and stayed with it, they would start to understand that something is very awry here. You know, right now, the world is focusing on Iraq and what the Americans are going to do, and it's imminent, of course, that President Bush is going to call for war against Iraq. That's become very plain to see. It seems that probably Colin Powell can receive the credit for causing him to go before the United Nations and to ask for the support of the nations, which I think is probably the first time that the Americans have ever felt a threat by any other nation, and enough of a threat to say that we must go to war and then go before the United Nations as if we're asking for permission. But, you know, because people are focused on that, they're not looking at what's going on in South Africa. They're not looking at what's going on in Zimbabwe. You know, the whole world turned against South Africa when they were practicing apartheid. Apartheid was bad. It was wrong. It was evil because it was based on the color of someone's skin. But today in Zimbabwe, we have a President Mbeki, pardon me, Mugabe,
right,
who is declaring war upon white farmers. And then we as a nation are feeding the people because the white farmers are off of their farms and cannot supply the food.
Well, you know, Kathy, I lived in South Africa under apartheid, and certainly it was an unjust system, but it was changing. I saw dramatic changes in the 3 years I was there between 1974 and 1977, mm-hmm. and they would have worked this out. They did not have an apartheid system in Rhodesia. We destroyed their country anyway, and the people voted in a moderate black, and our State Department and Henry Kissinger insisted that election was not valid, and they came up with another phony election. We brought Mugabe to power. That is what the average American doesn't understand. We brought Mugabe to power, and we promised the whites, you just let him in, and if he ever, you know, violates the Constitution or seizes power or does anything illegal, we will be there to defend you. And those stupid people in Rhodesia honestly believed Henry Kissinger and believed the word of the American president.
Well,
they weren't very smart.
No, and you know, I look at that African continent and the richness of minerals, everything from diamonds to gold to the only source of the white metal that it requires to build bombs as well as the jet planes in our airline industry as well as our defense industry. And I look at the African continent in a very different way when I know that it is a treasure trove for the New World Order to have solid control. And if it means pitting people against one another based on the color of their skin, they're willing to do that, and there's nothing more hateful that anyone can do.
Well, today in Botswana, 50% of the women between 20 and 35 are HIV infected. They're all going to die. And we're simply killing off the blacks. And, of course, when they're gone, why the New World Order folks will control the wealth that you're describing. And it is a very, very wealthy place. And people say, how could that happen? They do not understand the background, the psyche of the people who were involved in this. People have no sense of right and wrong. They worship a different god. Mm-hmm. They dream a different dream. And until people understand that, you can't understand much of what's going on today. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY and 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. I really believe we are moving into World War III now. Whether Europe will be involved in this or not, I don't know. But I believe that when this is done, the people of America will clamor for world government because of the chaos that is going to develop, not on the streets of Baghdad and the streets of Damascus and the streets of Tehran, but the terror and the horror that's going to develop on the streets of America. Because the good people weren't up there speaking against our involvement. Certainly Saddam Hussein is an evil man. And if we're worried about weapons of mass destruction, Fidel Castro has the ability to create biological weapons. He's been working on this. In fact, he's a very good friend of Saddam Hussein. In fact, he was just over there visiting Saddam. And, of course, if he's a lot easier to get to than sending troops halfway around the world. I mean, if we're worried about weapons of mass destruction, what about Russia and China and Pakistan and India? And they've all got nuclear weapons.
Right, and we're buying their support
right.
by saying that because you are in debt to Iraq, we will guarantee the payment of your debt. And so then the Russians say, okay, we'll join you in your quest to get rid of Saddam Hussein, and you're exactly right. If we wanted to get rid of him, we could easily get rid of him.
Right. And if anybody thinks that the CIA really couldn't finish off Saddam Hussein, they really don't understand how our intelligence agencies work. But sometimes they put up a good show. They never could get rid of him. I mean, you know, we had all these ideas to get Fidel Castro. We were going to put a powder in his shoe to make his beard fall out. That was a CIA plan. Do you really believe that this organization is that naive? But the American people are, unfortunately. They believe what they read in the newspaper, and there are not many people like you who are willing to go off to Johannesburg to spend the time and money. And what did you think of South Africa when you were there, Kathy? Did you get a chance to see anything besides Johannesburg?
Yes, as a matter of fact, one other thing though I want to respond to before moving on to that you've brought up is what percentage of people have AIDS? You know, we have an epidemic of AIDS. In Africa, they have a pandemic of AIDS. And yet, in the Holiday Inn that I was staying in Johannesburg, they handed me a booklet as I checked in, and I went through the booklet, and they were talking about the affirmative action policies that they have. 60-some percent of their employees are black. This many are this color, this many are this color, and this many, 32% in that booklet, had AIDS. And so they're even having to hire a quota of those with AIDS. But my time actually in Johannesburg, and I also took a trip then down to Cape Town and the Cape of Good Hope. I didn't think I could be that close to the end of that continent without going there and seeing that. And then I also took a side trip up to Zambia and Botswana. And it's interesting because those nations call themselves Christian nations, but the witchcraft is alive and well and the immorality is alive and well. There certainly does need to be a witness of morality there so that the people can truly begin a healing process.
Oh, you're absolutely right. In fact, when I practiced there, the people would always go to the witch doctor before they went to the white doctor, and we'd even get referrals from the witch doctor, and you could always tell when they'd been to the witch doctor because there'd be three vertical burns over the area that or scars over the area that they were treating. But we can talk more about those things when we get back here in just a minute, and we've got Dave calling in from Illinois. We'll ask Dave to stay on the line, and if you're out across America, our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest is Kathy Adams. Kathy, do you have a website or anything you want to put out?
Yeah, sure do. Our website for Texas Eagle Forum is texaseagle.org. That's spelled out TexasEagle.org.
Okay, fine. And, of course, other things we want to mention to our listeners today. One of the things that we hope many of you want to do would be to change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. And when you do, why, 15% of your long-distance calls comes to us. We've been very happy with Promise Vision. You give them a call, you get a live human being, and, of course, their service is good, their rates are good. Their telephone number is 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. And we hope that you'll appreciate them as much as we do. That's 866-448-5631. And then, of course, we want to mention the Miracle 2 soap products, which we carry, which we think are excellent. If you have any rashes or things of that sort. Now, we can't make any medical claims for it, but many of the people who have used these products say they seem to have helped them for so many things. And there's a soap, there's a moisturizing soap, there's a lotion, there's a gel, and there's a neutralizer. And some people say that this seems to help their gastric distress. We can't make that claim. We can only tell you that many people use it and have been very, very happy with it. These are the Miracle 2 soap products. Then, of course, we have some fascinating material to going into the background of our Central Intelligence Agency. And, of course, we have a book written based upon the papers from the Mr. Crowley, who was the Deputy Director of Covert Operations for the CIA, explaining why and how they killed John Kennedy. Fascinating, fascinating. It's called Regicide, available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have 2 4 tape sets on the Kennedy assassination, the traditional one and the JFK update. They killed the President of the United States, and they got away with it. You want to get it from the point of view of the mafia that was involved, the book Double Cross, all available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Regicide and, of course, Double Cross.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, Dr. Stan and that Dr. Day I mentioned in that last ad was actually the medical director of Planned Parenthood. He died some time later. We've got Dave calling in from Illinois. Dave, do you have a question or a comment there?
Good afternoon. A question and a comment. The comment is, listening to your program today, it's got me thinking. You know, I've been kind of on the fence about Iraq. I haven't been able to decide we should go in or not. I'm leaning towards think we should not, because like you two have been talking, I think this is all orchestrated, you know. Like you've been saying, there's nutcases all over the world with weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein is only one guy that's got them. And I think the whole thing is orchestrated. I think they're pulling Bush's strings. I think they're pulling Congress's strings. I think the American people are being played like a fiddle to do the bidding of the despicable communist criminals that run things from behind the scenes, you know, the evil puppet masters that actually run this world for their own aggrandizement. They're just pulling all the strings, and I'm just watching this in amazement. And I'm tend to think we should not go into Iraq. Which leads with my second question: what do you two think we should do? I mean, obviously Saddam is a nut. He's got nukes. These terrorists are real. They do threaten the whole world. What would you guys do about it if you were in charge?
Kathy, I'll give you the first shot at that, and then I'll tell you what I think. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, of course, acknowledging that God has not made me king, and nor have I been elected to a high position, and so we certainly have to put more credit in things that we don't know about what Bush sees, what he knows that we don't have access to, and what he's probably not telling the world. So let me put those two caveats out there first. Secondly, I think that if we believe that Saddam Hussein is the problem, then we could have had special forces go in and we could have taken him out. We're only calling for a regime change. But is it really that what we're calling for, or is it that we want to do like Afghanistan and create now a whole new Americanized country and giving out contracts only to our friends who are going to go in and rebuild the infrastructure in Iraq when Saddam is out of office?
Okay, what are we going to do with that? Do you have any suggestions?
I think that there's just too much information that I don't have regarding whether or not we should go to war, and to say that this is all wrong. I think that the American people should stand up and say, we need more information. And it isn't the United Nations that deserves the attention of the president, but it is the American people. And I think that we should be standing up and demanding more information.
All right. Very good. Let me tell you what I think, Dave. First of all, you have to understand how we got here. Where did this radical Islamic movement came from? Why it's the best enemy money could buy. The book Dollars for Terror, written in 1999, which we do carry, the book Unholy Wars by James Cooley, which we don't carry, both written in 1999, will tell you the CIA was behind this whole Islamic terrorist movement, right along with the Saudi Arabians and, of course, the Pakistani intelligence. And so if we have created this enemy, and this whole thing is an effort to draw us into this terrible, horrible, a bloody war that is coming, plunge the world into the, you know, and inflame 1.2 billion Muslims against us, the first thing we ought to do is get the truth out there. And, of course, much of the truth we'll find in my books and my videos, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and then the new one we have, 9-1-1 Contrived. And then, of course, you have to understand the Office of Homeland Security and what's planned here. And, of course, that was the new video we'll be doing this coming weekend, going into how, the FBI now is going to begin to watch churches in America. That's one of the ways we're going to fight terrorism. What's wrong with that? Well, how many of the Muslim terrorists who attacked America go to churches? We ought to have the FBI monitoring mosques. Oh, we couldn't do that. That would be racial profiling. No, we've got to start watching churches. This whole thing is a scam. And until the American people understand that, why, nothing's going to change. Should we go to war with Iraq now? No. If Iraq is really a threat over there, if he's really building nuclear weapons, we ought to tell the Israelis, go get him. And they did that in 1990 or 1991, and they wiped out in one raid his whole nuclear capacity. If we would unleash them, this is their battle, not ours. Certainly am a supporter of Israel. But what we've done is we've hamstrung them from doing what needs to be done militarily. We've talked them into giving up land for peace, and they gave land, and they didn't get any peace. I think we ought to stay out of that whole area, because it is this internationalist dream of our leaders, and there's only a few of them, but many of them belong to secret societies, and I'm talking about certainly the little hierarchy that runs the Council on Foreign Relations and Skull and Bones, which runs CFR, and of course, you need to get my information on the Brotherhood of Darkness to see how it fits together, but behind that, there are spiritual forces, and what we need to do, of course, is really try to let people understand we're involved in the spiritual battle. And if you don't face that, you can't understand anything that's going on. But the last thing we want to do is go to war in the Middle East and inflame not only the Arabs throughout the world, but every Muslim in the United States. Anything else, Dave?
Yeah, pardon the comment. Well, like you guessed, sir, I don't have enough time. I'm glad I'm not in Bush's shoes. I wouldn't know what to do. Guy's got.
Well, if you were in his shoes, you'd be a member of the Skull and Bones, which comes out of the Illuminati.
I'm saying I'm glad I don't have that decision.
All right, I'm glad you're not too.
But I will say, like I said before, the communist criminals that run the show in reality behind the scenes, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. And I am I don't know this, but I suspect that they've got plans in action here. And I just plain don't trust them. So.
Okay, well, that's a good way to be. I wouldn't call them communists. You can call them evil men. That's what I call them. Or I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, all right.
Let's go to George calling from Tennessee. Hi, George.
Hi, Dr. Stan. They've been building a massive underground bunker. I don't know if they've completed it yet, but it's being built to house the military, the government, and the elite.
You're talking about here in the United States?
Right here in the United States.
Right, sure. They've got these things all over the country.
Well, but this is a new one, and it's huge. And like I said, it's the house of military, the government, the elite.
Not you and I.
That's what I mean.
Right.
They're planning for massive loss of life.
Right.
While they're sitting in their underground bunker. The first place that Bush headed for after 9/11 was his underground bunker. And they'll be sitting in their bunker watching TV and having a ball while we are being slaughtered. Now, that's what this Iraq is all about. And this is what the New World Order out of chaos is all about.
Order out of chaos, right.
And, they say God works in strange ways. And I believe this is Armageddon. And this New World Order is not going to be what they believe. It's they're going to be in burning in hell while we'll be the rulers of this earth.
Well, Kathy, what are your remarks about what you're hearing, what George is saying?
Well, I think that you are certainly trying to discern with spiritual understanding what is going on. And for that, I commend you. And secondly, I have to say that I also try to give everyone every benefit of every doubt. Being a Texan and having worked with George Bush as governor of Texas, I can tell you that he is very much a man who likes top-down kind of control. And that's a very grievous place to be when you are president and when you have also this unfinished job that his father left with Saddam Hussein. And I think, again, the American people should rise up and call a halt to this and be asking a lot more questions and demanding a lot more answers before before going ahead. But as it is, we're not doing that.
Let me add one other thing. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, George.
You know, it all began with the Illuminati, and out of the Illuminati came the CFO, came the Luciferians, and came the Communists. And, you know, they're all the same, different shades of the same beast. And it's a Luciferian conspiracy. It's a satanic conspiracy. George Bush is right in there with them. His whole administration is. And, you know, I just hope the American people are prepared for this coming genocide that's going to be upon us.
Well, I, of course, the Illuminati came out of the ancient mystery religions that have been around since the ancient Babylon. And until people understand that, you know, the Illuminati and the communism and the Skull and Bone Society and the CFR are all manifestations of this same Luciferian movement aimed at a new world order and a new world religion. But, you know, I think that people, the Americans, have to understand that, you know, God judges people. And God judges nations. And this nation has turned its back on God. And I tremble for our country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever.
Right, but Dr. Stan, here we have a president who says that he's a believer, and yet this is going on. And I think that's where we as believers have got to begin looking for fruits and not just believing the rhetoric out of someone's mouth, because deceivers are rampant in our society.
Amen to that. Well said. Thanks very much, George.
Okay,
Dr. Stan. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, you were, I'm sure, in the educational battle down there in Texas. Kathy, what did the Governor Bush, when he was the governor, do to oppose the bringing in of the outcome-based education program?
Well, Governor Bush enabled it.
He enabled it?
Oh, yes. Governor Bush didn't have a real interest in our elected State Board of Education. He did everything he could to water down those members because we had worked very hard as grassroots people to elect conservatives who understood things like outcome-based education and workforce development and the whole gamut of what now our president has just announced that we're going to get back into, which is the UNESCO point of view, the UNESCO way of education for a new world order. And so Governor Bush and President Bush have furthered very much this agenda in education, and it was very, very sad to deal with this. The first time I ever met with a man, I said, "Do you oppose outcome-based education?" And his response was, "What is it?"
Well, I'll tell you what, when I interviewed him about 3 or 4 months before the primary election, he told me that he had opposed that in Texas. He said, "I oppose that, you know, and I've kept that out in Texas." And, of course, I knew that what had really happened in Texas, I didn't want to say anything, but I didn't think he was being really very forthright with it. Well, we've got Jim calling here. We'll get the question in, and then we'll get the answer when we get back. Jim, did you have a quick question before we go to the break, or you can hang on till afterwards?
A quick question. It seems to me as though we're being set up for yet another terrorist attack as a means of galvanizing the American people behind a war on Iraq. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that totally. Anything else?
No, basically, it's like we're being set up in the same way that Roosevelt maneuvered the Japanese into firing the first shot at Pearl Harbor, I guess.
Amen to that. Thanks so much, Jim.
All right.
Bye-bye. And right now, of course, I have to tell our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and quite frankly, we need your help so we can do what we do. 5 hours every day, and then on weekends, we actually do have 2 programs every weekend, but we are developing a base so that we can reach people across America. And with your help, we can gradually expand that, but we can't expand it without your help. And so if you believe in what we're doing and you'd like to be part of our team, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But why, of course, you'll be helping us as we reach out to try to bring people the truth that they're not going to get and the historical perspective and understanding of what's going on. And then the most important, and that's the spiritual perspective. And then, of course, if you have the Internet, go to our website at radioliberty.com. Now, you can pull our newsletters down there. And, of course, you're welcome to pull them down and copy them. You can pull down many of our archive programs at radioliberty.com, and they're archived for 4 to 6 weeks. And but get your friends to start listening. Tell them about our programs. Tell them about our Internet site. Give them a copy of one of our newsletters. Only, of course, if it's a good newsletter, of course, or one of our programs, but something that you think may have an impact on them, and then encourage them to begin listening, because we're going to have to do this one person at a time. The other side controls the media. They control our universities. They control our educational system. And all we have on our side is the Lord and righteousness. But remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'd love to welcome you into the Radio Liberty family.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Kathy Adams from the Texas Eagle Forum. We've got, is it Jenny or Jeannie on the line?
Yeah, this is Jeannie.
Oh, hi, Jeannie, how are you?
I'm fine. I want to ask Kathy two questions. Number one, Kathy, of all the seminars and the people you listened to, who was the most interesting, or what seminar did you get the most out of?
During the conference, there was only one four-hour seminar that I did go to, and that was the one in which Stephen Rockefeller was taking place concerning was participating in concerning the Earth Charter. Mm-hmm. The most of the conferences don't have such seminars alongside them. Normally, there are press conferences, and there are a lot of closed-door meetings at United Nations meetings. Seminars of that type that would last for a number of hours are quite unusual.
And the last question is, what did you learn that you didn't know before that really amazed you?
Well, I think to continue seeing the rolling out of the New World Order, that isn't a new thing altogether, but every meeting, and I've been following these meetings now since 1995, mm-hmm. rolls out a little bit more the agenda. And I have to say that the Millennium Declaration that was drafted at the 2000 Millennium Summit in New York City, when the largest gathering of heads of state ever in the history of the world met in order to draft this Millennium Declaration, that is key. Because what happened was in the 1990s, they had this continuum of conferences. In the year 2000, they developed this declaration. Now they are playing out, they're drawing to a close what they want. They have a judicial system because they have the International Criminal Court. They have the executive system because they have appointed bureaucrats, and they have the legislative system because they've had this continuum of conferences. So if you have those three branches of government, the only thing you're lacking then is the consent of the governed. And that will be by hook or by crook, and as we're seeing, it's very Marxist, and it's very deceptive.
Basically, it's authoritarian, but they want top-down rule, don't they? Rule by the bureaucratic elite. And for our listeners out there, Radio Liberty does have something called the Millennium Syllabus, and then we have a 4-tape set called Millennium Madness and a video on Millennium Madness that cover the conference that Kathy is talking about. You need to have this information, and we have the Millennium Declaration and the Brahimi Report that came out of the Millennium Summit last year, basically the plan for the World Army and how they're going to control your local police, because it all has to do with force, a use of the police and the military to impose the dictatorship. Anything else, Jeannie?
Well, I was thinking, Kathy, that now they have all the pieces in the international organizations. That should be coming down very rapidly in the regional and the local government, wherever anyone lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as a matter of fact, the Agenda 21 document that was drafted in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro was actually what we were supposed to be discussing at this meeting in Johannesburg. It was the 10-year follow-up of the Rio Summit. That Agenda 21 and the other documents that came out of Rio are actually the culmination of the plans. But once they came up with a plan in 1992, they had all of these meetings in between, this continuum of conferences, in order to draw together the people and the will of the people. And then in 2000, it was like, let's place the gauntlet, and now how do we afford it? And how do we apply governments apart in order to regionalize? And when we have, I mean, for goodness sake, when we have a United States president, the only superpower left in this world, going before the United Nations and trying to sell them on a war that America wants to declare against an enemy of America, then there's something wrong here. And that in itself should call us in, call the whole battle against Iraq into question.
And especially in the view of the fact that we backed Saddam Hussein right up until the Gulf War, from 1983 until 1990. And then, of course, the George Herbert Walker book intensely left Saddam in place. I mean, we could have taken him out. Our troops were 60 miles away. Why did we leave him in power? Oh, we don't want to destabilize the area. What's going to go in there and we destroy everything now? Is not going to destabilize the area? You know, they, you know,
it's going to allow the Americans to go in and build the infrastructure, and you can watch who's going to win those contracts in order to build that infrastructure. They're only going to be friends of this government.
Yes, friends of Bill, I think, and friends of George. Well, the other thing is, of course, look what's happening in Afghanistan today. Do we have law and order? Then don't we have chaos? We've installed a puppet, Karzai. He actually was a consultant for UNICAL. This is where he came from. And so we see the influence of oil and power and money and wealth, and the only people that are suffering is everybody in Afghanistan. And now the warlords are taking over and there's chaos. People there are beginning to say, maybe we ought to have the Taliban back. At least we had law and order then,
yes,
and people weren't killing one another,
right,
the way we are today. And what are we going to do when we go in and destroy all the governments in the Middle East that many of the, we brought to power? We have brought the Iranian to power. We financed the Syrians. We financed Saddam Hussein. We're keeping the Saudis in power. We brought the dictatorship back to Kuwait. Everybody said, oh, we're going in for freedom. That's why the Desert Storm was all about. We didn't bring freedom there. We brought the dictatorship back. What's wrong with this scenario? And the thing is that never underestimate the gullibility of the American people. Anything else, Jeannie?
One thing I'm curious, Kathy. At the World Summit on Sustainable Development, did they mention Agenda 21 very much, or did they just say a sustainability or sustainable development?
Sustainable development was the mantra, but yes, Agenda 21 was mentioned,
mm-hmm,
but mostly only as a sidebar. Sustainable development is being used to address everything from economics to social issues to government to increasing foreign aid. It's the catch-all phrase, and it's also, as we're now finding out and what Dr. Stan has been so eloquent in presenting, it's also a very spiritual focus.
Okay, Jeannie, thank you so very much.
Yeah,
any parting thoughts?
Talk to you later.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, fine. Then we've got time for one more call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Kathy Adams. She's from Texas, from the Texas Eagle Forum, and certainly on the front lines of this battle. What's the response you're getting from people down there in Texas as far as the war? I know that Governor Bush has been very popular there. Are a lot of people behind the war? Are some people asking serious questions like, what's going to happen? What are the implications? Could we be, opening the gates of hell, as some of the leaders of the Arab League are saying?
Well, I actually am not, and of course, after being gone for about 3 weeks and have been home less than a week now, not hearing a whole lot, but on email, people are sending around articles that are calling into question who is in charge and who's calling the shots. The people of Texas, though, I must also say, yes, they're very proud to have one of their own in the White House, and they've also been very well trained when Governor Bush was our governor and before being our president. Karl Rove is very much a controlling person, and no one was allowed to say anything.
Now, who is he? I don't know.
Karl Rove is his campaign manager, and right now, as he did in Texas, Karl Rove had never done anything other than run campaigns. All of a sudden, he became the number one consultant next to George Bush after he was elected as governor. Then he ran his presidential campaign. Today, Karl Rove is the number one consultant sitting next to President Bush.
I see. So he probably is helping to pull some of the strings there behind the scenes.
He's like the alter ego. It's almost like we're watching Wilson and House, only now we're watching Bush and Rove.
Well,
but the only thing Rove cares about, though, is re-election. And that's why Bush has him next to him.
Well, I will tell you that House had a far different agenda than Woodrow Wilson did, and he manipulated Woodrow Wilson from their first meeting. But, of course, House really had almost supernatural powers, and he was able to control people's minds, which is one of the things I bring out in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, of how he would actually, and the term I found in the book was, ooze ideas into people's minds. Kathy, do you have any parting thoughts? Because we're just about out of time. This hour has just flown by, and it's been a real pleasure. But what are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, my parting thought would simply be that Americans should not give up hope, that you have very clearly presented that Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the source of our hope. He is the source of our peace. The United Nations has never been and will never be. And our government can be in disarray today, but God is still sovereign, and we need not lose hope and need not lose our joy. And we need to continue with the presentation of the gospel at each and every opportunity possible.
I couldn't have said it better. Thank you so very much. God bless you. And anything comes up, give us a call. We'd love to have you back again.
God bless you.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, I hope you enjoyed what Kathy said, and I hope you'll take to heart what she really said. We are in real trouble, you know. It once said that if you obey God, he will bless you. If you reject God, he will judge you. And we are all going to live throughout all eternity. The only question is, where are we going to live? And God doesn't want that anybody should perish. That's why he came to earth, to die for our sins. But, you know, the difficulty is that there are an awful lot of people who do reject him. And tragically, our country has rejected him. And just as God judges men, he judges nations. And I fear that we may very well soon be seeing God's judgment on America. And so this is the time to just refurbish your basic spiritual beliefs, to understand the spiritual battle, to draw close to him. The only way I can keep going, knowing what I do, and believe me, I have access to a lot of information you don't, is to realize that this is God's battle. I'm not going to win it. I'm just to be here as a spokesman to try to get people to understand what's going on and perhaps touch a few lives. And if we're going to have any impact, why, we have to try to make people understand what's really behind what's going on today. So if you'd like to be with us, remember our number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for revival and pray for God's mercy. Do everything you can to convince people we should not be going into war in the Middle East. And then, of course, please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time. Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Yes, we are up here. Is this Kurt? Yeah, hi, Kurt.